Your drive home starts now with Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Followed by Hamish and Andy. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Afternoon to you, Carrie Bickmore.
Hey, Buzz.
Hello, Tommy Little.
Buzz old me old mate.
There's a buzz in the air today, isn't there?
I feel like there is.
There is.
It's a royal buzz.
I mean,
I'm very excited.
You're so excited. You're so excited. It's not just you. I think it's the female population of Australia. They're collectively losing their minds over this.
Our ovaries are exploding right now. We've already planned the baby names for the first royal baby. Like,
what are you going with? Phoenix?
She's 36 and she's already thinking about it. Oh, look, okay. I've thought of everything. I thought, what kind of kid has? What's the kid going to look like? What's her wedding dress? Is she going to go conventional? And you're talking about someone. I was the royal correspondent in 2011 when Wills and Kate got married. And then I wasn't really into the royals. Right? So I had to sort of, I don't know how I managed to get through that 2-hour coverage. I did a lot of note reading during that period of time. Now, you send me there, I'm all over it. I mean, all over it.
The good thing about
The Crown and Queen.
The good thing about that 2-hour coverage is you don't know how you got through it. I don't reckon most of the viewing audience got through it back then either. I think this has made it interesting.
No, it was a huge ratings bonanza, mate. Don't diminish my job.
Okay. Sorry. Hey, there is something else.
I'm just making sure I get another Guernsey, though, this year.
There is something else I need to tell you, and that is I spoke to a member of your family without your knowledge.
This happens often. I've gotten quite used to this. Which member of my family now?
One of the small ones. And I recorded it. I'm gonna play it to you later. Cute.
Like the little one, or the one that knows what he's saying?
The middle little one.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, which means I might not come out of this very well. He's pretty smart, that boy.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Because I don't think I've seen you so excited about a piece of news all year.
Do you know why? I'll tell you one of the other reasons I'm so excited, because the news came through to me just as I'd finished watching the Tracy Grimshaw interview with Don Burke, and I've never needed something to make me feel better about the world than I needed right at that moment.
Yep.
And then I saw the tweet that they were getting married. I was like, thank you, Lord, some happy news.
I think you wrote in a text, I think you wrote, love is great, love, love, love.
That's not what I wrote.
It's something like that. Oh,
no,
anyway.
I didn't write love is great, love, love, love. That's what I wrote about the same-sex marriage thing that we had a few weeks ago. That's how I feel about that.
I'm getting my pieces of news confused.
The thing I love about this, I like that their relationship breaks convention, right? So she's mixed race. She's a divorcee. She's as famous as he is. She's got great personality. I feel like she's a feminist. She holds her own. She's not just going to go, yes, Harry, whatever, Harry, you know, whatever you want me to do. I'll sit there and I'll shake hands. I feel like she's got some guts to her, and I love it.
She is also absolutely stunning and doesn't break convention in that way at all. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, true, but that's not what I think. I mean, I know she's hot, but that's not what I think of when I think of her. I think of Harry standing naked with a pool. Pool cube. And then I think of her thinking that was funny, as opposed to someone going, oh, tut, 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 that was old Harry when Harry was naughty. I feel like she'd love that Harry.
Yeah, right. Yeah. She's hot enough that he's batting above his average despite being a prince.
Oh, but he's hot too.
Do you reckon?
Hot. Yes. And I love that she's older than him. So he's 33 or 32 and she's 36.
Well, she's 36.
I mean, she looks 25, that she's got that going for her. But she is, and I just, anyway, if you did hear how it all went down, they've already done their first little interview about being together. And this is them talking about the proposal and how it happened.
What were we doing? Just roasting chicken and having
Trying to roast chicken.
Just an amazing surprise. It was so sweet, and I could barely let you finish proposing. I said, can I say yes now?
She didn't even let me finish. She said, can I say yes? Can I say yes now? And then there was hugs, and I had the ring in my finger, and can I give you the ring? She goes, oh, yes, the ring. it was a really nice moment.
I mean, he didn't really go all out, though, did he?
No, look, I did hear that and think, mate, you've got acres of beautiful grounds at your disposal. Mm. Do like a scavenger hunt or something, like over roast dinner. Like,
yeah, seriously. even cook some red meat.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, an amazing like steak or some rump, like, you know, like even a, what's those, why are we getting into this? I was imagining what kind of dinner I'd want Harry to propose to me over.
Oh, yeah, what have you got? What is acceptable proposal food? Because my mate proposed with a ring in a bag of Maccas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but his missus loves Maccas, so she loved it. She was like, he knows
That's
me
right.
well.
And maybe these two love roast chicken. I mean, I'm not that into
Who
roast chicken.
Who loves roast chicken?
Well, me, I don't. I find of all the forms of chicken to have, roast chicken's probably the blandest.
Yeah.
It reminds me of my nana, you know, like that's what we, every time we went there, we had roast chook. I just, look, that was a little bit disappointing. I was also a bit disappointed that she sounds royal already. I feel like she sounded proper already, and I was hoping she'd keep the, you know, hey, not that she ever sounded like that. But
yeah, hey, just... Harry, get over here. Hey, Harry, what are we having chook again?
And I like that they met on a blind date. Did you know that they met on a blind date? Apparently
no.
His mate set it up.
That's not a point.
Actually, by a mutual friend.
We should protect her privacy
and not
reveal too much of that.
And
we went and met for a drink, and then I think very quickly into that we said, well, "What are we doing tomorrow? We should meet again."
What are we doing tomorrow? Let's meet again. And then it was like, right, diaries. We need to get the diaries out and find out how we're going to make this work.
That sounds like the most boring relationship.
I've just worked out something. I need to stop listening to them because how I see them in my head is not how they sound.
Yeah,
I don't imagine them getting their diaries together. It's ruining it for me.
you're right. The pictures are hot, and that is wow.
Like, I loved when I heard they went camping together, one of their first dates. They went camping together under the stars in Botswana, and that's where one of the diamonds from it rings from. Oh,
now,
Harry.
Do you reckon she was camping and thinking, how many more times do I have to camp before we can just do a royal holiday? Like, he can afford anything. Why? I'll pretend to be fine with this so he knows I'm, oh, yeah, I can rough
it. I'm down with whatever.
Yeah, I can rough it, but seriously, palace next time, let's do it.
Well, I reckon she's probably thinking about the chicken dinner the same. Like, I think it's the same thing. I feel like he's, like, I don't know, Harry, step it up, mate. No more camping, no more chicken dinners. Let's do this properly. Like, the wedding, like, can't be in a barn somewhere. We've got to do this. Like, it's got to be done well. All out.
Yeah. So over a roast chook is not acceptable.
No, I don't reckon.
Oh, you've turned this. You were so happy about this wedding.
I know,
and
but
then
the more I've heard
turned.
About it, well, I just, no roast chook.
Should we do what's happened?
Does anything happen over a roast chook that's good?
Yeah, let's do that. 13, 10, 60. What's happened over a roast chook? I'll take in a live chook, to be honest. I'll take it on a farm.
Chook.
Yep, I'll take
or
on
like
a farm.
Like a breakup when you're trying to wrangle a chook.
Yeah.
Dead or alive, whatever the form.
Yep. You catch someone choking their...
No choking. No,
13, 10, 60.
No, we're celebrating marriage here.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
We're asking what happened over a chook. Could be dead or alive, it could be roasted, whatever, because Prince Harry has proposed to Meghan Markle over a roast chook. Hey, Meghan, whose name's actually Rachel, did you know that? Rachel Meghan Markle. Yeah, her name's Rachel
also,
Meghan Markle.
At what point, when somebody says, hey, it's Meghan and not Megan, do you go, okay?
No, that's
I
her
reckon
name.
Meghan.
It's not Megan. It's Meghan. That,
if someone says to me, hey, it's Meghan, not Megan, I'd say, you're up yourself, Megan. See you, Megs.
No, it's not like you saying it's Tommy, not Tommy.
Thom. Can you call me Thommy?
Thommy. Anyway, Thommy, we're taking calls of what happened over roast chook, because I'm not sure that proposes what you're doing over a roast chook. Amanda joins us now. Amanda, what happened to you over a roast chook?
Yeah, the same thing happened. My husband proposed. We'd just got our house and he proposed in it.
Okay, two things here. Who cooked the chook?
He did. It was the first time that he actually cooked me dinner.
Okay, well, that's a little bit sweet. That's cute. And second of all, did he stick the ring up the stuffing? Did something creative happen?
Something creative did happen. Thankfully, it wasn't in the bird, though. Now, he taught our puppy to drag a tiny little sleigh because it was Christmas time.
Oh,
and
my God.
The ring, the box, was in the sleigh.
Okay.
Amanda, this is the most adorable thing ever. But I don't mean to bring the tone down, but I do need to ask the question. Has he cooked for you ever since?
Recently. We just got a Weber and he's cooked three times since.
Yeah, if they're not in the kitchen,
pass too.
Get him a barbie. Hey, let's go to Ryan. Ryan, what happened over a chook, bro?
Listen, my wife went into labour and she was cooking a roast chicken.
Wow, she was cooking a chook and cooking a chook.
Cooked a chook. What did you get out of that experience, Ryan? What did you have, a boy or a girl?
No, we had a little girl. She was determined to have this roast chook, you know, being pregnant and cravings, and all of a sudden the baby's coming, so I grabbed a drumstick and jumped in the car and off we went.
And then you had a little chick. Did you name her poultry or something fun?
No, we didn't name anything like that.
No, it's a stupid idea, to be honest.
Poultry? Who's ever heard of a kid called poultry?
Well, from a kid named Thommy, I didn't think poultry was so bad.
And finally, let's go to Mark. Mark, what happened to you over a chook?
Well, I thought I was eating chicken, but it turned out to be a rabbit.
Oh, you just found out you were eating the wrong...
my brother used to raise them, and I said, I'm never eating rabbit. He's like, yeah, that's fine. Sit down to a chicken dinner, and I look down, there's four drumsticks.
Oh, and then did anyone have a baby, or is there any proposal?
No, unfortunately not. No, I haven't eaten rabbit for the past 11 years.
Yeah, no, I mean, I haven't eaten rabbit for the past 11 years. I just don't think rabbit's not high on my list of things I'm eating.
Thanks for that, Mark. We've got another Mark who assures
you're moving on from that one that quickly?
Who assures it was,
I've got heaps more rabbit-based questions.
More exciting.
Mark, I like that. Why? Well, you said anything. Don't have it.
No,
what
happened over a chook? Oh, I ate rabbit. Is not what we were asking for.
What happened over a chook? Well, he thought it was a chook and then it was revealed to be a rabbit. I mean, that's pretty good stuff. If you've got a call that you could think can top that.
Mark. Okay. What happened to you over a roast chook?
I had a girl break up with me.
Yep, see? That's topped it. Well done, you win.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Hi, I'm sexologist Dr. Nikki, and my podcast, Sex and Life, is your peek behind the curtains of sex culture. Listen now at Podcast One as I open your eyes to the different ways sex can play a part in your life and relationships. If you're curious about the world of sex, this is the podcast for you. Sex and Life with me, Dr. Nikki, is available at Podcast One. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One. Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Because you mentioned the great news that happened overnight, but you also mentioned the relief that you experienced from some of the not so great news that was on our TVs last night.
News that broke yesterday in the interview last night with Tracy Grimshaw, who nailed it, by the way. What a superb interviewer.
She was amazing. She also did not try to hide her disgust at all. She looked like she'd sucked a lemon the whole time. She looked visibly repulsed by the man that was sitting across from her.
No, she was just so calm about it. There was one bit that I loved where he was saying something ridiculous that she didn't buy, and then she just went, all right then.
Yeah.
I give up.
Wasn't it a telling sigh?
Oh, yeah, it was a big sigh. It was a big sigh. It's hard to know where to start. I mean, it was an interesting move for him going on the front foot. I think he thought he could hose it all down before it gathered momentum. You know, started out confessing to some affairs and that he was a tough boss and, you know, asked for forgiveness. But I think by the end of it, he just dug himself into a bigger hole. And even though he denied all the behaviour that was ever put to him, I just felt like watching it, even seeing the response online, people were just seeing through him, seeing a lot of the stuff that he was talking about.
Yeah, and some of the examples he came up with to justify the allegations were pretty amazing.
It's the social media, the Twittersphere thing. I guess they've stirred this up. There's the Harvey Weinstein thing, and we've got a witch hunt. These sort of things bear no relationship to who I am and what I'm about.
I mean,
you can blame the Twittersphere for a lot of stuff in this world.
Yeah.
That's not one of them.
Yeah, that is definitely not one of them. Isn't it amazing to see, firstly, how overdue this movement is, but also the attitude that men are showing that sometimes they're outraged that they can't be scumbags anymore. Do you know what I mean? With all these things coming out around the world, finally some behaviour that's been appalling and been going on for so long is justifiably getting, you know, brought out to light, and the people are getting punished. But there's still men all around the world just going, oh, I mean, what is it? Is it the social media that's caused this to happen? I mean, I just,
And now the conversation's becoming from a lot of the men, oh, you can't say anything these days. Oh, you can't now. Where's the line? You can't say anything. It's like, hey, whoa. That's actually not what we're talking about. We're so far past that. We're talking, you know, anyway. I just think a lot of the things he said about his ribald sense of humour, he was often misinterpreted, you know, that he was a tough boss and that there's people, you know, it's a witch hunt, there's people with grudges, all of those things. Even the bit where he said he wouldn't specifically go after or go into any of the individual allegations because the women involved were too fragile mentally, I just thought, don't discredit people who have come forward with
it.
It would have been so hard to come forward, especially if you're currently working in the industry, to come forward. Also, the trauma that's associated with the you know, alleged incident that you wanted to bring forward, you know, to be able to relive that and talk about that again. I just think about those women and how hard it must have been, and how hard it must have been for them watching that interview last night too.
Completely. And I mean, we both work in this industry, and there is Obviously, everybody is talking about this now. It is very hard to find a good Don Burke encounter, but it's so easy to find bad ones. I mean, the stories that are coming out now, and a lot of the defense he used last night was, the grudges may be held, so people might be making these up. People may be lying. It's been a long time since it's happened. And then Tracy went into just how many people.
He's saying a lot of it. Yeah.
And Tracy just spelt out just how many people are making these allegations.
You look at the people who have lined up against you today. There are three women who've put their names to it, two women who haven't. There's the Newcastle incident. There are three executives from Channel 9, two former CEOs. That's where there's smoke, there's fire, and that's a lot of fire.
Yeah, well, I gave you the fire. The rest of it is just smoke.
You just did one of the signs. You just did a Tracy sign.
You know, the other thing for me is the acknowledgement of his self-diagnosed Asperger's, which for me, look, whether he has Asperger's or not, bringing that into a discussion has just smeared an entire population of people unfairly, conflating, you know, the allegations with a Google diagnosis. I just, at that point, I was just like, come on, like seriously, come on.
Yeah.
I haven't been medically diagnosed, but I've worked it out that that's what I've got and what it is, and it's a terrible failing. I have difficulty looking anyone in the eye. I can look in a lens, but I have real difficulty looking anyone in the eye. It's a typical thing.
You're right. That's linked a group of people who are already have enough trouble in this world with some behaviour that is just absolutely heinous.
I know. And the only thing that can come out of this, I think that's any good, is reading online today that more and more women have come forward to Kate, who did the investigation, to Tracy Spicer, with allegations of their own, you know, covering people of the past 30, 40 years. And, you know, hopefully out of this we can get, perhaps the floodgates will open and there can finally be a change in behaviour. But, you know.
Hey, I read a tweet last night during the show. He admitted to damaging some people in the past, to bullying and damaging, and he regrets that behaviour. And there was a tweet from one of the News Corp journos during the show that said, if you want to see damage to some people, you should see what I'm going to do to you in the paper in the next couple of days. So it's definitely something we haven't heard the last of. But the good news is, if you find it depressing, it is the last you've heard of at this hour, because I've got some great stuff on the other side of the ad break for you. I've got, one of my favourite Bickmores joins us on the show.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, you've been teasing that you're speaking to your other favourite Bickmore.
I didn't say other.
In a process, it's not me. My deductive skills, my investigative skills. I've worked out why you're talking to my son, because I figure you're not talking to my daughter, because your conversation would be too short for radio. It's because we were talking yesterday about Will Smith, Jada Pinkett Smith's and Will Smith's son, Willow Smith, has said that having famous parents was absolutely terrible.
She's I also don't reckon Willow Smith likes being called their son, but that's another thing.
I did say she. She said you can't change your face, you can't change your parents, you can't change anything. And she just said it was horrible. She hated it. She felt like that she was the butt of everyone's jokes and she didn't like it at all.
Excruciatingly terrible. And so I thought, I wonder if that's common for people who have famous parents. And I thought, who do I know that has quite a famous parent? And I thought, young Ollie. And so I called him. And
he loved life. He's got nothing to complain about, that kid.
I'll tell you what, he's an absolute ripper. And I chatted to him. You'll hear that chat, Bickers, and Australia next.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Been telling your show that I spoke to my favourite Bickmore. And you haven't heard it. Australia hasn't heard the call. But, you know, we recorded it, obviously. And here it is. Hey, Ollie, how are you?
Good.
That's good. Hey, Carrie's not here, but I wanted to talk to you because I don't know if you saw this story. Will Smith's daughter has come out and said it's absolutely terrible to grow up with famous parents. And I thought, who do I know that has a very famous parent? And I thought of you, Ollie.
Okay.
And I wanted to know, is it absolutely terrible to grow up with a famous mum?
Yeah.
Is it? How come it's terrible growing up with a famous mum?
Oh, I didn't say terrible. I said great.
Oh, sorry, buddy. I misheard. Is there ever paparazzi that take photos of you? Carrie gets papped all the time.
Yeah, at the front of our house. I'm so annoyed because we're late for stuff.
Oh, because she's trying to avoid them?
Yeah.
I can imagine one of the best things would be that you wouldn't have to do any chores, right, if you had a famous mum. Carrie wouldn't make you do any chores, would she?
Oh, yeah, she doesn't make me do lots of them.
Oh, what do you have to do?
Dishwasher, hang up the washing, fold the washing, do the washing and other stuff.
Does she think she doesn't have to do any of that stuff just because she's famous?
Well, she does it normally when I'm at home, but sometimes when I'm, like, unpacking the shopping and stuff, she just
sits
on her computer.
Oh, what's she looking at?
No, Facebook or Twitter or something.
No. Hey, do you want to be famous, Ollie?
Yes.
Well, you could take over the radio show. Ollie and Tommy's got a pretty good ring to it.
I want to be a cricket player.
Do ya? Are you a batter or a bowler?
Wicketkeeper.
Oh, okay. Are you handy with the bat as well?
Yeah.
Okay, this is good. You've got to cover all your bases. Will Smith's kid, Willow Smith, she released her first single when she was 10. You're 10, aren't you, Ollie?
Yeah.
You need to put out a single if you want to get famous.
No, I don't.
Can you sing?
Yes.
This is good.
Opera. Do you want me to sing some opera?
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think we're playing any op on the station at the moment, so we might have found a real niche in the market. This could be perfect. Have you given yourself a cool opera name?
No, because I don't want to be an opera singer. I just like opera.
Okay, but if it can get you famous, we'll do it, right?
Yeah.
Do you need a manager?
Yes.
Can I be your manager?
Sure.
I'm going to take 20% of all profits, though.
No, okay, you can't be my manager.
Okay, no, that's not how the negotiations work. You give me a number back and then we'll make a deal. So you don't want 20. What number percentage can I have?
10.
15.
No, 10.
12.
5.
5? 5? You can't. Oh, 10. Okay, 10. Let's make 10 a deal.
Okay.
Okay, we're locked in. Good, Ollie. I'll let you go, but just to be completely clear, it's not horrible having Carrie as a mum.
Well, it's medium.
It's medium. Hey, have a ripper, Ollie. Take care.
Hey, I'm playing cricket tonight.
Oh, are you? Is it a one-dayer or a two-dayer?
It's an afternooner.
But do you guys bat and bowl or do you just...
We bat.
Oh, yeah, you bat and bowl. Okay, so you'll have a result by tonight. Okay, well, if you win, I'm taking 10% of that orange slice.
Okay.
Deal. Thanks, Ollie. Have a great game, mate.
Okay, bye.
What a legend.
Oh, I love that kid. Oh, he's so
cute. Isn't he the best?
I'll take our medium. It's medium having me as a mum. I mean, it could be worse.
I mean, the good news is he's going to be famous and I'm going to make a fortune off him. So, great.
Not 5%, though.
No, I know. It's a hard bargainer.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Right across Australia, Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Oh, yeah.
R&B Fridays presents R&B Vine Days. Boys to Men, TLC, Shaggy and more. Touring this February. The Hunter Valley, Mount Cotton and the Yarra Valley. Tickets on sale now through Ticketmaster until sold out. Sing the next line for R&B Vine Days tickets.
Yeah, everyone is talking about this. R&B Vine Days just around the corner and we've got tickets. Head to hit.com.au if you want to win them. And Karen Tommy can play with you, sing the next line for R&B Vine.
So we're playing for Days Amy tickets. And Kim. So I'm playing for Amy. You're playing for Kim. Are you guys there? Hello.
Hello, Tommy. Hello, Harry. You've got to win it. I need it.
No, yes. Tommy has to win it.
Kim. I need a wink, wink night away with the husband.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. This well, got saucy real quick. Okay.
Come on, Tommy.
Okay, so when the music stops,
who are you going away with, Kim?
I'm just taking one of the mums from school.
Going away. Wink, wink. Okay. Sounds wink, fun.
Wink. Okay, so the music's going to stop and we have to finish the tune. Tommy, you got what's happening?
Yep.
Yesterday,
we've got to buzz
in. You jumped in way too early.
Okay, mate. Don't. Okay, I get it.
Let's play.
All right, here's the song.
Because it's 11:30 and the club
you
is
buzz
pumping.
In.
You do have to buzz in. Tommy, I'm going to give that to you because you do. That's the name.
Yes, Tommy, don't
that's the line. Congratulations, Kim.
Yeah.
I think I said the club was pumping and it was actually jumping anyway. Sorry. I forgot my name.
Sometimes.
Tommy, you're the best.
Sometimes it pays to be on the dud horse, Kim. And this time, I've come up trumps.
Right now.
You're the best. Have a fun night away
Amy.
With the mum, wink, wink.
Thank you. Even though
we
didn't say it.
I love it.
There we go. That's how we do it. Register at hit.com.au. We'll play again tomorrow.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Project coming up. We've got a bit more of you on tonight, Tommy. You chatted to the Pitch Perfect 3 guys, Rebel. Yeah?
Yes. Rebel Wilson is the most amazing woman. She's so funny and so awesome.
So she was a good interview?
She was great. I chatted with her. I also chatted with Brittany Snow, who plays Chloe in the Pitch Perfect movies. Pitch Perfect 3 is out this Thursday, I believe. And I only had 10 minutes with them.
To get
Well, luckily I've worked with Rebel before, but they're going to have to use almost the whole 10 minutes for the interview, which is interesting because I got off on this foot and it went south from here.
In one of the more glamorous scenes, Brittany, you get quite intimate with a bull.
Well, I didn't really stick my hand up a cow's ass, but I stuck my hand up a fake cow's ass, which, by the way, feels, I would imagine, very similar. And it was
I think
very
I
disturbing.
Saw the fake cow's ass, like, just sitting over in the room, and I was like, what's that? What's that? Like, what is Pitch Perfect 3 become?
How many more times do they say the word
ass? Yeah, and it gets bluer. So it's interesting. Going to see what's going to make the cut tonight.
Is that why they had only 1 minute next to it on our board?
That happens tonight. We'll be back tomorrow. See ya.
The Carrie and Tommy Catch Up podcast is ready to download now from the Hit Network app.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Carrie Tommy Show.